that we have a missions wall, and on that missions wall are different missionaries and ministries that we support. Those we call our foreign missionaries and ministries. We also support local missions and ministries. And so the way it generally works here at our church is we do not have a missions week or a missions emphasis during the year. We just keep our eyes open for opportunities to touch base throughout the year with those ministries and missionaries as they are available. Because we could have a missions week every annual October, and they just may not be available. And so we find it works well. So in just a few moments, Jessica Hogan is going to come and share with us. And I want you to give her your attention. But let me just share with you how mission support works in our church. Because we support so many, as of right now, designated missions monies are not enough to meet the goals that we have set. So therefore, we take money out of the general treasury, and that's how we do it. And if we have to continue to do it that way, that's okay. But it means that if you ever designate missions money, it will go to missions. Every single penny that you give on any given Sunday will go to one of our missions and ministry designations. Then on Sundays like this, when we have special guests in, you have an opportunity then to either sign up to be one of their monthly sponsors or give in a love offering or both. And so that's how we support missions here at our church. So a little bit later, after Jessica shares, and she'll tell you all about the ministry and where she's from and what's going on, we're going to have a love offering. But we encourage you any Sunday to give money toward missions, and we will continue to meet the promises and the goals that we have set. So, Jessica, where did you go? Oh, there she is. All right. Come on up and share with us, and give her your undivided attention.
Hello. Good morning. How are you? Oh, thank you. You guys are a happy bunch of people. It's good to see you. So thank you so much, Pastor Paul. My name is Jessica. I was here, I think, last July. I was talking with John. I think that's when I was here. Does anyone remember my visit? I remember some of your faces, like yesterday. That's awesome. So first of all, I just want to say thank you so much for allowing me to come and share. I love the opportunity to come and talk about what God is doing on the other side of the world, and just the privilege that I have to be able to see it firsthand. But more importantly, I love the opportunity to meet the people who are making that a possibility for me, who are making, providing the support that we need to be able to do the work that God has called us to do. I hope that you never underestimate the power that you guys have, that God has given you through your prayers and through your support that you send around the world. That is such a powerful thing. Like, you're literally funding the work of God. And I know it can seem like not a big deal when you're here in Bryant, Indiana, and you hear all these places and all these random names that you might not even know. But I just want to make sure that you guys know that God is moving through you. God has caused a lot of things to happen because of your faithfulness and your support. And so me personally, I just want to take a minute to say thank you so much for supporting me as a church. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your encouragement. We really do feel them. I really just every single month, every week even, I think of you guys as I'm doing the work in Uganda, and I'm just so, so thankful to have this entire church body behind me, supporting me and believing what God is doing in Uganda. So thank you guys so much. It's been a very eventful year. I'm going to talk mostly about the organization I work for, which is PetraZoe. You can put, there we go. Oh, it's there. That's great. PetraZoe Initiative. I moved there to Uganda last October. So this was my first year in Uganda. I had previously worked in Honduras, which is how I got connected with John McFarland and all of you guys, which is awesome. I moved to Uganda about a week before my sister got married. She had been in Uganda for 3 years by then, had met a Ugandan man, fallen in love, and then they got married last year. We all moved into a house together, which some people think is funny, and it is funny. Let me tell you, being the firsthand witness to the first year of someone's marriage in the same house has been, it's been a blessing, first of all. I've decided I'm going to write a book of all the funny stories that happens during the first year of someone's marriage. I've learned a lot. I've gained a lot of wisdom for when I get married. I think the book, I'm going to call it Half the Rent, Double the Fun, living with my sister and brother-in-law. So yeah, it's been a very interesting year from the very beginning. That's how my time got started in Uganda. But to just take a step back to remind everyone why I went, Petra Zoe is an organization that was founded by a Ugandan woman. Her name is Hannah. She's now my very close friend, basically my sister. We spend a lot of time together. She was challenged by her pastor at her church there in Uganda, which I now also attend and serve. I'm also kind of one of the pastors. They call me pastor, but I don't know. Anyway, so I'll also be doing a little preaching this morning as well. Hope you guys don't mind. So she was challenged by her pastor about 4 years ago to find something in her community that annoyed her, that bothered her, and then to do something about it. And so one day she was at the hair salon getting her hair done, and she was noticing all of these youth, these young people, who they weren't studying, they weren't going to school, they weren't working, they were just wasting their lives, they were getting into trouble. Some were involved in prostitution, some were being paid by political leaders to go and cause trouble in different places and do crimes, and it was just a mess. And that really annoyed her, so she was like, I'm going to do something with these youth. And that's how Petra Zoe got started. Petra Zoe, it's two Greek words. Petros is from the Greek word Peter, or the rock. When Jesus was telling Peter, on this rock I will build my church. And then Zoe is a Greek word that means life, from John 10:10, where Jesus says, I've come that you may have life and have it in abundance. So those are kind of two words that Hannah and now all of us want to speak over the youth of Uganda. Uganda is a very, very young country. About, I think, 75% of the population is under the age of 30. So there's a lot of young people, a lot of teenagers. And so this is the word that we are speaking over that generation, that they will be the rock that Uganda is built upon, and that the church of Uganda is built upon, and that they will not just live, but have an abundant life that Jesus is offering to them. So that's kind of the background of Petra Zoe. Before COVID, there's kind of like a clear dividing line. I think everyone kind of has that. Before COVID, Petra Zoe was a weekly outreach program where they would go out to three different communities once a week and kind of mentor the kids. They would have fun activities like boxing, dancing, music, things like that. And then they would also share, you know, a devotion with them. They would mentor them, even teach them business classes so that they could be earning some money for themselves. And then they would also have a vocational institute where our youth could sign up to learn how to make shoes or learn how to do hair, have their own hair salon, or how to make bags or make products that they could sell. Actually, I have a table set up out there of products that our students have made, and that's one of the ways that Petra Zoe earns money. We pay them for their labor, and then any profit above and beyond that goes right back into Petra Zoe's programs. So if you're interested, take a look. They're really cute. So that was kind of what was going on at Petra Zoe, this vocational school and the outreach program. Then COVID happened, and you would think that would have slowed things down. I think you can go to the next slide. It doesn't say much, but there's a cool picture. You would think that everything would kind of be shut down because Uganda, they completely closed all of the schools, like our vocational school, and they closed all of the big gatherings. Like, we weren't able to gather at all, which is our outreach program. So basically everything we were doing, we were no longer allowed to do. So we were like, huh, this is all before I got there. And so they kind of had to get creative with how they were reaching out to the youth because they didn't want them to fall away or get involved in other things, especially because now there was really, really nowhere for them to go. They weren't able to go anywhere. Like, public and private transportation was suspended, so you weren't even allowed to drive your own car. You were just literally stuck in your community. So it was really intense there in Uganda. Instead of slowing down, though, God somehow sped us up. And I think you can go to the next slide. I don't know how well you can read that, but it's mostly for me to reference. Our programs have basically exploded this in 2020 and then in 2021. And I'm just going to go over briefly kind of the new strategy that we have adopted as Petrozoe. Instead of just doing a weekly outreach program and a vocational school, we now have kind of like three main groups, three main strategies for reaching the youth in every way that we can think of, basically to eliminate all obstacles that a young person would have to living a successful, healthy life that Jesus is wanting for them. So we're hoping that when all of these programs are thriving at their best, that a youth who goes through them will grow up to be very successful, will grow up knowing their identity in Christ, and they'll be able to kind of break that cycle of poverty, of crime that has been going on in Uganda for generations. So the first kind of program is the outreach program. That's where we're working in the communities. Instead of our weekly outreach program, we realized, like, okay, being in the youth lives for once a week, it's not enough. Like, there are plenty of other influences that are in their face, like, every single day that aren't really what they should be looking at. So we decided to change our approach to creating youth centers instead. So these youth centers, we have one currently in a community that's open every single day. And the youth know they can come. There's always going to be activities. That's where they can learn their boxing, their football, dancing, really anything. We want to even get like pool tables and fun games for them to play because they know that at the Petrozoe Youth Center, they can't say bad language, they can't listen to bad music, they can't drink, they can't do drugs, but we have the things they want to do. And so they kind of have to weigh their options and decide, do I want to go to the ghetto and do drugs, or do I want to go play pool? And a lot of them, like hundreds of them, are deciding to come to our center every single day and just do these fun activities and learn about Jesus while they're there. So we found really, really big impact at our youth center, and we're hoping to expand to other youth centers as we grow. The talent development, that's also the athletics and everything like that. And then we also have a charity club, which was founded by one of our youth in our program. This also had been going on for a while. But basically, they just every week, once or twice a week, they meet, they go out into the community, they find out who is in need, especially with health and hygiene things, like making sure people have latrines, they have nice places to use the bathroom, they have healthy ways to distribute the rain, because sometimes there was flooding. So they'll basically just offer their services to go and help, especially the elderly, the widows, and the community. And they've been able to impact really thousands of people in the past 3 years with their work. So that's the outreach program. Then we have the education program, which is our vocational institute, which is what we had. We also started a leadership academy for those high-capacity youth who were kind of natural leaders. We just want to invest extra in them because we see the potential they have to mobilize and to impact the youth that are around them. So that's kind of a year-long academy. It's not working right now because of COVID, but soon. And then we're also getting ready to start an early childhood development center. Another program that I'll talk about in a minute is our teenage pregnancy center, which was started, I think, about a year and a month ago, where we were seeing the huge need to reach out to young teenage mothers in Uganda. It's honestly at epidemic levels. I think the statistic is one in every four babies is born to a teenager in Uganda. So 25% of mothers in Uganda are teenagers, which is kind of scary. So we have a residential center where we welcome these pregnant girls in. A lot of them are products of rape, incest, you know, things that were kind of beyond their control. So we welcome them in. We provide their medical care, their nutritious food, the safe housing, counseling services. They are enrolled in our vocational institute, so they learn a skill while they're with us. And we walk with them through their birth up to a year after they give birth to their babies. We're getting ready to kind of resettle our first generation of teen moms, which is kind of a challenge, of figuring out how do we, you know, help them get back into the community, back into normal life, without them falling back into the same situation that they were in. So it's a bit of a challenge, and while we're figuring that out, their babies are growing. And now we have about 17 babies, and some of them are already over 1 year old, depending on when they came into our program. So it's at the point where we really need to do something with them, with these babies. They can't just be kind of chilling out with their mom anymore. They're running around looking for things to do. So we decided to really invest, not just in the teen moms themselves, but with this generation of babies who have not yet been exposed to the world. They've not yet become teen mothers themselves. And so this is really the time to start pouring into a young person, is right when they're a baby, a child. So our plan is to start constructing a center, a facility, that will serve as housing for the teen moms, but also a child care center that will be an early childhood development center. So hopefully that's going to be constructed next year, but that's like a whole other story for another time. But yeah, be praying. And then the final kind of strategy is a family intervention program. And that's what I came to share about with you guys last year. This is where my heart really is. We were seeing so much growth and so much impact in the youth. We were seeing a lot of transformation in the programs that we were having, the outreach programs, the Vocational Institute. But at the end of the day, they go back home to their families where, you know, there's substance abuse, there's physical abuse, there might be an absent father or who had passed away. You know, there's all these different situations that make it really, really hard for a youth to break out of that cycle of poverty, of that cycle of abuse. Like, there's just so many factors at the home level. And so if we don't involve the entire family, there's really only so much we can do. We have to kind of get everybody involved. And so that's why, yes, I came to talk about the foster care program, which is like, that's what I'm really passionate about. For those kids who come from very, you know, dangerous, risky situations that need to be removed from their home, placed in a loving family while we work with whatever's going on with their biological family, like what needs to be done to make this environment a better, healthier space for them. But there's also some situations where a young person, they might not need foster care, they might not need to be taken away from their home, but there's some things we could offer their family to help it be a more ideal environment, a more healthy environment. So we want to come along and kind of create individualized plans for each family and figure out, okay, what does this youth need to be successful and healthy and able to follow Christ with all of his heart? And then what can we offer as Petra Zoe and as partners, because we're also getting partners of other organizations, because obviously we cannot do this work alone. So we're looking for always for organizations who are already doing good work and how we can work together to multiply our impact. So we have a lot of connections now that we can get our youth connected with so that they can get the resources they need, get the help, the counseling, the coaching, the even maybe some financial, temporary financial support, business classes, teaching their parents how to make money, how to save money, so that they are able to get themselves out of whatever situation they're in. Under that is our teenage pregnancy center, and we also have a medical clinic. We have all of the equipment for a really nice lab. We have a delivery ward in our teen pregnancy center now. All we need is the staff. So once we have a lab technician, once we have a midwife and a doctor, like, we'll be set to go. We'll be able to treat our teen moms and our babies, and we'll also open it up to the community so that they can also receive affordable health care, but it will also kind of be a way to earn income as Petra Zoe. So those are all things that are kind of in the works. Some are already functioning, some are will be functioning very soon. So as you can see, there's a lot going on. Yeah, that's Petra Zoe right there. So I'm gonna kind of go back to that, but first I just wanted to talk a little bit about my personal experience being in Uganda and how this year worked out. Because surprise, surprise, this year looked nothing like I imagined. Like, I thought I would move to Uganda, start this foster care program, and everything would be great. I'd have, like, you know, like 100 families I could report back on to you right now. But instead, God kind of took me on a very different path. And I think it's something that we can all relate to, because, like, we see where we're going or where we want to go. Like, if I want to leave this room, I'd walk and I'd leave in this straight line, right? Like, that's the quickest way out the door, unless I go there, which I guess would also work. But instead, God tends to, like, send us in a dance, like, all around the room, like, touching all the windows and, like, finally getting to those doors. And then I'm like, oh, I see where you were going. But in the meantime, I'm just like, why am I doing this? Where am I going? And that tends to be what following God can feel like. I think some of you guys can relate to that. And it's very easy to start doubting and to start being like, what? Like, you told me to start a foster care program. Like, why am I doing this? And so it's been, honestly, a very stretching year for me. When I first moved to Uganda, I had been in Honduras for about 4 years. And I honestly was very content with my life. I felt very satisfied with the level of, you know, serving that I was doing. I felt I was doing pretty good, all things considered. And then I moved to Uganda, and I felt like God was saying, I could do more through you, you know. And I was like, oh, okay, that'd be nice. But God was like, but there's some things I need to show you and some things in you we kind of need to get rid of if I'm going to be able to use you at that level. And I was like, okay. Not as excited. And so this has been a very interesting year of God showing me things about myself and kind of working in me and stretching me to my limit and beyond my limit. Anyway, again, that's a whole other story. But it's overall, it's just been a very amazing experience. So to kind of clarify what I'm talking about, when I first started to focus on the foster care program and try to get foster parents and get things set up, and I would talk to these government officials about what we want to do, because obviously we have to work with the government so that we're not just stealing children and placing them in random families. We have to make sure it's all legal and above board. Honestly, things were not moving well. They were not moving very quickly. And there's this one government official that is in charge of the entire city, like all of the children. So any case that has to do with children, you have to involve this man. And I will try to be kind. He's not an easy person to work with. He's not really going out of his way to make things happen and to really, you know, go out of his way to help the children that come into his office. That's all I'll say about that. But I tried to introduce myself, because he already knew about Petra Zoe, even though sometimes he forgot. And I would try to explain what the foster care program was, what our dreams were, what our heart is. And after listening to us explain for a while, he basically just said, this is not going to work. Like, legally, this is not how foster care works in Uganda. It's just not going to happen. Because in Uganda, their law mostly talks about orphanages, because that's what's been very prevalent in Uganda, is just children's homes, and then you can kind of foster and adopt from there. But my heart was, we don't need children's homes. We have these godly families and churches that can take in children. And so we kind of can just skip that middleman where a lot of trauma happens, a lot of neglect happens, and we can just put them right into a loving family. But this guy said, that's not going to happen. We can't do that. And so I was just like, God, what? Like, what do you want me to do now? Like, we're kind of stuck. And instead of kind of opening that door, which I thought, it's like, it's right there. The door is right there, God. Just open it. Instead, he was like, go to your church and kind of do what your pastor is asking you to do. My pastor was not asking me to start a foster care program. My pastor was asking me to start these small groups of discipleship in our area. And I was like, that's not what I want to do. But after like a month of struggling and a month of hearing these messages about being obedient and following the leaders that God has placed in my life, I was like, okay, let me just give this a shot. To cut this very short, because I see the time is running, things just started moving. Like, I started a couple of those small groups. I started, you know, when my pastor would ask me to do something, I would just kind of do it, even though I was like, what am I doing? Like, I'm supposed to be at work right now. Why am I going to this church thing, you know? But instead, I just kept time and time again deciding to be faithful and be obedient to what I felt like God was saying, even though it made absolutely no sense what I was doing. That's why I say, I kind of joke and say I'm a pastor, but they really do call me a pastor. I kind of like, they promoted me. Instead of just being the small group leader, now I'm over the other small group leaders, I'm kind of discipling the leaders, and they give you the title pastor. So I'm kind of under my lead pastor, basically. And so, yeah, that was not what I went to Uganda to do. I've actually never wanted to be a pastor. Very, very against it. I told everybody I know I don't want to marry a pastor. I don't want to be a pastor. Like, I want to be a missionary. And here I am being a pastor. I think God just laughs. Yeah, You know, people say, like, don't tell God that you don't want to do something. And I was always like, okay, but God also cares about what you like and what you don't like. But what I found happening is that I started to like it. I started to enjoy this position that God gave me to be able to disciple people and to be able to pour into their lives. And so I've been thinking about a couple of scripture verses, a couple of stories about, like, following God, even though it doesn't make sense. And the one I was thinking of was Saul, King Saul, when he first was anointed by Samuel, the prophet. And Samuel kind of tells him, like, let's see. When you've departed from me today, you'll find two men by Rachel's tombs. This is what they're going to say to you. Then you're going to go find this tree, and you're going to see these men, one's carrying goats. So I was just thinking, like, what does that have to do with anything? Any of that? Saul could have been like, well, that's weird. Why do I have to do all that to be king? Like, why do I have to go and talk to all these people? But instead, he was obedient, and he did exactly what Samuel asked him to do, and God gave him the kingdom. And then I think about this other story of, I don't know how to say it, but it's Naaman? One of those, you know what I mean. It's in 2 Kings, and he was a commander of an army, and he had leprosy. And Elisha told him to go bathe, I think, in the Jordan 7 times. And this guy, instead of being like, okay, let's do it, like, this is a prophet, he was just like, I thought he was going to wave his hands around and heal me. And the Jordan isn't even a good body of water. Like, there's better water out there. And so he kind of complains. And then everyone's like, what are you doing? Like, this is Elisha. And eventually he does go bathe in the Jordan and gets healed. But I'm just like, how often do we do that? How often does God ask us to do something or go somewhere, and we're just like, but that's not even the best thing I could be doing right now. Like, how many more people could I be impacting if I had a thriving foster care program? But instead, I'm with these small groups leading them. You know, I could easily get into that line of thinking. But instead, when you're faithful and obedient, God kind of opens the huge gate that was behind that tiny door that you were looking at, and all of a sudden, things are just working so easily and so well. So I'm going to end today just by showing you what I mean by that. We were just, all of us at Petrozoi were just obedient, just willing to do, you know, whatever God was calling us to do, and it looked really weird. Like, there was a lot of times we were like, what are we doing? We ended up being connected with this organization that is just now starting. It's an organization started by a family in Texas who had lived in Uganda for a while, and now they're in Texas. They adopted a couple of girls from Uganda who were sexually violated. One was by her father and her uncle, and there was never any justice. She ran away when she was 10 from her home. She reported them to the police. The uncle was arrested, but then the grandmother came, paid the police a bribe. The uncle went free. So eventually this girl was connected with this American couple. They fostered her, then adopted her, brought her to the States. Now she feels called to start an organization that is fighting for justice for these girls in Uganda that are just like her. So somehow they got connected with us at Petrozoi, and they asked us to be partners with them so that we can be fighting together. And so I don't know why, but we said yes. We tend to say yes a lot. It gets us into these situations. So long story short, we have been working with them for a couple months. We've already started pursuing a couple of cases that have been reported to us, and there is one perpetrator who is still in jail, and his case is actually being pursued, which is great, because sometimes these convictions don't happen until like 10 years later, which is insane, but anyway, won't go down that hole. And so the day before I flew here to the States, we had this huge launch event for this partnership where we invited all of these government officials. Like, we wanted to make noise and let Uganda know, like, we're coming for you, like, we're not going to be okay with this anymore, what's happening. So this guy in Texas, he's even friends with like this famous celebrity like singer in Uganda. So he invited his friend to come sing. And like, you should have seen people, like, they were freaking out, like, this celebrity was here. So it was like a big deal. And so the event went really well. And the day after the event, there was this person there. So I told you about the guy at the city who said this foster care program would never happen, right? So the head of his like office on the national level was at our event, who's basically like not just his boss, but like his boss's 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 boss, like this big guy. They call us the next day. We didn't call them, they called us and said, we want to partner with Petrozoi. Send us this information of what you guys are doing. So all of a sudden, yeah, you can clap. It's amazing. I was clapping. Thank you. Like, when in the world would I have ever gotten that guy's number and told him about Petrozoe and asked him for help at the foster care program? Like, there was no way. He was unreachable to me. But because we went on all these weird twists and turns this year, God opened that door. And now things are going to be so much easier when I get back to Uganda and we start pursuing this foster care program again. So it's just incredible to see how faithful he is when you are faithful with what he gives you. So I want to encourage you guys, if you feel like God is calling you to do something weird or something that you maybe didn't plan on doing, like, trust me, it's a better plan than what you could have ever imagined for your own life. Even being here in the States right now, I wasn't supposed to be here. My sister and I, we were just here fundraising in July, so I wasn't really planning on being back this soon. However, we, with all of these programs, like I said, before COVID, we were kind of like two or three activities. Now we're all of that. So our programs have kind of exploded, but our monthly giving has kind of stayed the same since before COVID. So there came a time where Hannah, the director, the founder, she was like, Jessica, I really think I need to send you back so that you can be fundraising again. Because when you guys were in the States, like, telling people about the story and getting new partners, like, that's when things were really moving. So I, again, didn't really want to come, honestly. Like, my home is in Uganda. I had stuff to do there. But instead, I was like, okay, like, God, if this is where you're wanting me, and if this is, you know, what I am supposed to be doing right now, then okay, I'm ready. So now I'm here. I've been in the States just for about a week, actually. Flew in last, what's today, Sunday? Flew in last Saturday. Yeah, so finally recovered from jet lag, so that's good. Yeah, and I'm just going to be here for the next few months, sharing these stories, inviting people to become monthly donors so that we can realize all of these dreams, all of these plans that God has placed on our hearts and has now made available to us through these connections that we have. So this is a very, very exciting time to come on board as a Petrozoe partner. So if you guys want to hear more about it, if you want to become a monthly donor, if you want to give a gift, if you want to buy one of the products that I've laid out there as a way to support, as a Christmas present maybe, then I'll be in the back there. You can talk to me more about it. I would love to share more stories because, I'm only scratching the surface of just God's faithfulness through this year. So I'm going to hand back the mic back to the pastor. Thank you so much. And I'll see you out there after. Thank you.